From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairns with you once again to welcome you to Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for being with us today. I trust that you'll be able to stay with us for the rest of this 30-minute segment as we finish the first week of Bible study on the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been considering how He commenced His public ministry by being baptized by John the Baptist with a baptism of repentance for sin. A fascinating subject, and today we return to the final reason why the Lord Jesus started His ministry that way. That's a little down the road. We will, before that, have our commentary or hot topic for the day. We're going to be dealing with how evolutionists try to ensure that in science classes, in schools and universities, nothing but Darwinism is permitted to be taught, and having redefined science, they tell us nothing but Darwinism is actually truly scientific when it comes to a theory of origins. All that's before us, but first we start off with some music. The SMS Choir singing, Jesus Paid It All. Topic today is one that we're going to have to keep an eye on for some time to come. That is the attempt by evolutionists to ban schools from teaching anything but Darwinism in science classes. The British government has reacted with fear to the news that almost 60 schools in Britain have started introducing Intelligent Design's critique of Darwinism in their science curriculum. The expected howl has gone up from atheists posing as scientists, and it has been amplified by the yammerings of liberal churchmen and godless politicians. The fact that the critique that was distributed to almost 90 schools on DVDs from the Discovery Institute of Seattle, Washington, has the support of eminent men of science, means nothing to the disciples of Darwin. A professor of thermodynamics from Leeds University is one of the supporters of the intelligent design alternative to Darwinism. Now, the science of thermodynamics is utterly incompatible with Darwinism and its model of the universe. According to the first law of thermodynamics, the amount of energy in the universe remains constant. According to the second law, the amount of usable energy is diminishing, or to put it another way, entropy, that is the difference between the amount of usable energy and useless heat energy, is increasing. Now, these two laws have been termed the most basic laws of all physical science, and they flatly contradict the Darwinian model. They show that the universe is winding down and that the increase of useful energy required to sustain Darwin's imagined evolutionary activity just isn't available. But what does it matter what laws of thermodynamics or professors of thermodynamics may say when the high priests of humanist religion decree that Darwin is sacrosanct? An amazing facet of the whole controversy is that according to the Darwinian camp, intelligent design cannot be scientific because in examining the empirical evidence, which is what science is supposed to be all about, it postulates a supernatural first cause. I should say driven to that by the evidence. So these humanists have now radically redefined what science is. According to them, it is by a priori definition entirely humanistic, and that it must never be willing to receive any evidence that points to the presence of an intelligent designer, no matter how compelling that evidence may be. Talk about arguing in a vicious circle? Yet that's what Darwin's defenders are reduced to. Let's be clear. It's not science or any love of the scientific method that's driving their campaign. It is their guilty hatred of God. Once they admit the evidence of design in any part of the universe, they're face to face with the existence of the designer. That's precisely what they don't want. They're afraid to allow the students in Britain's schools and universities to have access to the facts in case they see through the deception of humanism and recognize themselves for what they are, creatures of the all-wise God. I hope that those of you who got your Let the Bible Speak calendar for 2007 will be using it day by day, and that it will remind you to be in prayer for this ministry, crying to God for his mighty visitation upon the preaching of his word, and also praying that he'll use every method that we seek to employ to get out the gospel. One of those methods is through the internet. We have our website, and I trust that if you haven't visited it recently, you'll do so. It's ltbsradio.com. Let the Bible Speak radio.com. It's important that you put the radio in. ltbsradio.com, and there you'll be able to download the audio from our programs, or you'll be able to view our shop here that we have at the church, where you can see various things that are available to you, or you may be able to view and even print our daily topic, our hot topic, our commentary for the day. These are things that are available at ltbsradio.com. Let me give you a couple of ways that you can be in touch with us. You can call us by toll-free telephone at 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. Or you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. We're trying to make it as easy as possible for you to be in touch, and I trust that you'll be in touch, and if we can be of any help to you in the things of God, or send you some of the literature that we mention here on the program from time to time, or even yet get you a belated copy of the 2007 calendar that features some beautiful scenes from Northern Ireland, then we trust that you'll get in contact this week. This week in our studies of the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be giving some reasons why the sinless Savior should be baptized with a baptism of repentance for sin. In this final study of the subject, we're going to return to the last reason. I stated yesterday and I want to bring it to a conclusion today. The last reason for his action, he did so as an example to all his believing people.
One final reason. The Lord Jesus was baptized with the baptism of repentance, and I think it was quite simply this: to set an example for his own believing people. You see, this shows you Christ's attitude to sin. Even though it was not personally his own sin, yet he felt it, he sorrowed over it, he confessed it, and he was baptized with the baptism of repentance. So he's very clearly showing us what our attitude should be. He set out to fulfill all the righteousness of the law. And that shows us what our attitude should be to the law of God. Now this includes baptism, but it goes way beyond it. Peter said that he gave us an example that we should follow his steps. And the baptism of Christ maps out for you and me our steps, what our attitude should be to the law of God and to the will of God. Let me put it to you this way. No Christian can understand the attitude of Christ expressed in his baptism and be an antinomian. God has not called you and me to be saved by grace in order that we may ignore the law of God. Now let's understand this. The law is not a covenant of life for us. We are not saved by what we do, we're saved by what Christ did. We're not saved by our fulfillment of the covenant of works, we're saved by Christ's fulfillment. And that for us is a covenant of grace. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. We are not saved by the law, but we're saved by Christ's fulfillment and satisfaction of the law. So the law is not a covenant of life. But the law is an unchanging standard of behavior for the people of God. There's one man who's written a book called The Nine Commandments. You know, that could well sum up the attitude of most evangelical Christians in America today. For somehow or other, the fourth commandment got dropped by the way. And while many Christians would say, yes, you should not have idolatry, and you should not swear and take the Lord's name in vain, and you should not steal and kill and commit adultery and lie and all the rest of it, yet the Sabbath day somehow or other has dropped by the wayside. We're down to nine commandments. Let me tell you something. The people who drop the fourth will not be long before they drop the rest. And just look at the state of religion in America today. Look at the state of fundamentalism in America today. And try to tell me that the desecration of the Sabbath day has not had serious, far-reaching implications for the moral life of people who populate our churches across this state and this nation. And I realize churches are never going to be perfect. In many ways, they're like hospital wards, where we've got people who are still under treatment. And I realize that. But nonetheless, to an awful degree, you look around churches today, and they are populated by liars, by cheats, by immoral people. I'm not saying this is true of all God's people, it's not. But I'm saying that there are thousands who are passing themselves off as God's people. And their lives are scandalous. And the excuse is, we are not under law. Well, if they're not under law and the result of it is that they're living in sin, it's time they get back to obeying God's law. God has not called us to antinomianism. God has not called us to ignore the law. God has not called us to live in selfishness and sensualness. God has called us to live in holiness. God thought so much of his law within the covenant of grace that he describes the act of the Holy Ghost in regenerating a person. He describes it in these terms, writing the law upon his heart. That's regeneration. What does it mean? It means that God gives you a heart to obey him, a heart to observe and obey his law, and do his will. Now, what is the will of God? So many people get hung up on what is the will of God for my life. Should I be in this job or that job or the other job? That half the time they forget the things that the Bible declares to be the will of God for us all. Overarching everything, this is the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 3, even your sanctification. That's the will of God. Read it in context. It's moral purity. That's the will of God. It is not the will of God that you fill your mind with moral filth and impurity. That is not the will of God. Yet we have Christians, and they feed their minds a daily diet of all the filth that the sewer pipes of Hollywood can spew out. And then they wonder why they don't have power in prayer, and they wonder why they don't have power in witness, and they wonder why they don't have the joy of the Lord, and they wonder why their kids are growing up to be rebels. Let me tell you, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. This baptism of the Lord Jesus sets before us an example of what our attitude should be to sin, what our attitude should be to holiness, and what our attitude should be to the service of God. We must put off the flesh. Paul said, put off the old man, put on the new. And he said that to people who were already mature Christians. This is not something that's done in the past and you can forget about it. You've got to keep on putting off. Keep on reckoning dead. Keep on fighting the flesh. Keep on putting on the new man. That's what you're called to do. And give yourself without reservation to the will of God. And the Lord Jesus submitted himself to baptism. He was giving us an example. We're to hate sin. And we're to give ourselves wholeheartedly, unashamedly, to obey God, whatever the cost may be. These are some of the reasons, far from exhaustive, but suggestive reasons, why our sinless Savior submitted himself to a baptism of repentance for sin. He bore our sin. He felt our sin. He dealt with our sin. And he has mapped out for us thereby a path of obedience to God. I trust today that the Lord will do two things as we have studied his word. Number one, or three things really. Number one, show us the glory of Christ, sinless Son of God. Second, teach us the depths of the doctrine of saving grace, justifying power. And third, teach us what it is to be like Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for Christ and his baptism unto repentance. We realize that it was something that even John couldn't understand. And Lord, we realize that it is only the revelation of thy word that would show us how the holy, harmless, undefiled Son of God would be baptized with a baptism that confesses sin. Lord, we thank thee it was our sin he bore. We praise thee it was our debt he paid. We thank thee it was our salvation he secured. And we ask thee, Lord, that thou wilt lead souls to Christ today and lead thy people to a deeper than ever enjoyment of their Savior. We do ask thee, Lord, that thou wilt give us a Christ-like attitude toward sin, and a Christ-like attitude toward the will of God. Save us, O Lord, from the antinomianism that is so prevalent today, where God's people glibly, shallowly deny the role of the law of God in their lives. We ask thee, Lord, that thou wilt make us fulfillers of thy law, of thy word, and of thy will. Grant that by thy grace, being saved by Christ's obedience, we may walk in his steps. Hear our prayer and part us with thy blessing. Be the abiding portion of all thy blood-bought people, both this Sabbath day and until the Lord Jesus either calls us home or comes again in all his glory. We pray these things, giving thee our thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.